I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for this opportunity that I will be able to share His word with you. Let us quickly turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. We will read from verse 45 to verse 49. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 45 to verse 49. It reads as follows. I'm reading from the ESV. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the southland, preach against the south, and prophesy against the forest land in the Negev. Say to the forest of the Negev, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree in you and every dry tree. The blazing flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from south to north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, they are saying of me, is he not a maker of parables? Ezekiel, during this time, is in exile in Babylonia. He was taken because Babylon rose into power just around these times, or I would say 10 years before the time of Ezekiel, around 605. They took the first group to Babylon, which was in 605, and Daniel was part of this first group that was taken. And then later on, around 10 years later, Ezekiel, or the second group, which Ezekiel was part of this group, were taken to Babylon in exile. And later again, 10, 11 years later, Jerusalem will be destroyed and some will be taken to Babylon. So these words are given to Ezekiel between this 10-11 year period before the fall of Jerusalem in 587. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, this passage indicates a beginning of a new section. In other words, this part from verse 45 to verse 49 should be part or should belong to chapter 21. And we'll see in the explanation, because the explanation of these words that are being said here comes in chapter 21. Chapter 21 gives a full explanation of what is happening in these verses. Now, some have asked a question, or they've asked some questions around what we see today. When we see calamities, when we see suffering, some people ask, where is your God? Where is God when the righteous suffer? Because as we can see in the world today, both the righteous and the wicked suffer. So I would say the theme of this passage, or what I want us to discuss today, is that God is the one who sends calamities. God is the one who sends calamities. We will look at two things from this passage. The first one, He sends calamities to both the wicked and the righteous. And secondly, we'll say sometimes he uses evil means for his purposes. Let's look at the first one. God sends calamities to both the wicked and the righteous. Here in this passage, we have images which Ezekiel identifies them as a parable in the last verse, verse 49. Ah, Lord, they are saying of me, is he not a maker of parables? Therefore, this is a story that needs clarification. Oh, these are words that needs more clarification. And chapter 21 will provide that for us. So when you read this story, you can see that there are some difficulties in terms of understanding what God is saying to Ezekiel from verse 45 to verse 49. Ezekiel is instructed to prophesy against the forest in the Negev. Now, the Negev was the desert region in the south of Judah. Therefore, the first problem here is that when people look at this region, the Negev, there is no forest in the Negev. It is a desert area. So why would Ezekiel be sent to preach against a forest in the Negev while there is no forest in the Negev? The second problem is that he must prophesy to this forest. I mean, let alone that this forest is non-existing, but how do you preach to a forest? He is a prophet of God called to preach to the people of Judah, or the people in exile, because he is in exile in Babylon. Now, God says, tell this forest that I will kindle fire in you, and this fire shall devour every green tree and dry tree in you. This fire shall not be quenched. Both south and north, they will face this scorching fire, and all people will see that God is the one who kindled this fire. Now, what is happening here? Remember the last words of this passage, that people are complaining that Ezekiel speaks in parables. So we need to understand what God was saying to Ezekiel. And chapter 21 helps us in understanding these images that he is using in this parable. This non-existing physical forest is referring to the people of Judah in particular, who were located on the southern region. Now, if you look at verse 2, chapter 21, verse 2, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary. Prophesy against the land of Israel. So this forest is not a physical forest. God was referring to the people of Judah. Ezekiel was to preach to the people of Judah. The fire that burns this forest is the sword of Yahweh, or the sword of God. Look at verse 4 in chapter 21. Because I will cut off from you both righteous and wicked, therefore my sword shall be drawn from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. Therefore, he is asked to prophesy to the forest, which is to the people of Judah in the south, and tell them that there is a fire that is coming that will quench the forest, both the green and the dry trees. This fire is the sword. There is a sword that is coming, and this sword comes from Yahweh. Then, thirdly, the green trees that are in this forest and the dry trees are identified as the righteous and the wicked. That is verse 4. Because I will cut off from you both righteous and the wicked. So here, Ezekiel is sent to preach to the people of Judah and tell the people of Judah that God is carrying a sword and he is going to kill both the righteous and the wicked. Now, do you see the sad part here? The sad truth here is that the righteous might have thought that they will be safe from the impending doom, but they find themselves as part of these casualties. This is what is shocking about this message of Ezekiel, that calamities are sent by God to both the wicked and the righteous. One would expect that only the wicked will suffer, but we see both the wicked and the righteous experiencing these calamities. Ezekiel is instructed to groan in chapter 21, verse 6. In fact, he will groan before the eyes of the people. This is a command that Ezekiel should groan. But this command is passive. Therefore, he is told to groan not because he is forced to groan as a command, but it's passive because the event itself will make him groan. An example of this can be seen when a person loses a loved one and someone comes and say to you, cry. This might be seen as a command to cry, but he is not commanding you to cry while you were not going to cry, but the situation itself drives you to tears. In other words, he is simply saying, it's okay to cry. Allow yourself to cry. Therefore, it seems that Ezekiel was going to cry or groan because of what he sees. Jerusalem being destroyed, both the righteous and the wicked being destroyed by the sword. And the sword of Yahweh. And it seems that while Ezekiel is in exile, the Jews that are watching him, they see him groaning, and this continues for some time, that the people will ask, or will begin to ask, why is he groaning? Or why has he been groaning for this time? And this is what God instructs Ezekiel to do because of the calamities, because of this great day that is coming. Tell the people that the sword has already been sharpened in order to kill both the righteous and the wicked. So here we see first that God sends calamities to both the wicked and the righteous. Secondly, sometimes God uses evil means for his purposes. This may come as a surprise as well. I mean, it is shocking enough that God would kill even his righteous in Jerusalem. But now he uses evil means for his purposes. Now, when you read chapter 21, it turns out that this sword that God is carrying in his hand, it is Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. He is this agent of divine justice. This sword that was earlier described as in the hand of Yahweh. Who would have thought that Yahweh would use such an evil, arrogant, and proud agent to punish his own people, even the righteous? Now, Nebuchadnezzar is determined to destroy Jerusalem. Not because he is obeying some command, not because God said something to him. No. In terms of Nebuchadnezzar, it is because of his evil heart. He just wants to destroy Jerusalem. But on the other side, God is using him as a vehicle of his purposes. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar was about to attack Jerusalem, when you read this chapter, chapter 21, when he was about to attack Jerusalem, he had two options. It was either he attacks Judah or Jerusalem or Ammon. This chapter will speak about Rabbah. Rabbah was a capital of the Ammonites. The Ammonites were beyond the Jordan, in the Transjordan, in other words. And Judah was on the on this side of the Jordan, which is the Cisjordan. So now Nebuchadnezzar, some they say he is standing probably in Damascus and thinking, which nation or which capital should I attack? Rabbah in the Ammonite region or Jerusalem in the Judahite region? Remember that the Ammonite king was behind the assassination of Gedaliah, the Judahite governor that was appointed by the Babylonians. So, Nebuchadnezzar had something against the Ammonites as well. Now he has to make a decision, which one to attack, Judah or Rabbah. Now he uses some methods of divination in order to make a decision. Three methods. One, he shakes the arrows. Two, he consults the teraphim. Three, he studies the omens. Now, shaking these arrows seems to have been one of the ways or methods of divination to find an answer, because he wants to make a decision. But secondly, he consults the teraphim. The teraphim are the figurines of deities. In other words, some small personal gods that they carried when they went to war. So he wanted to make a decision. And he was not sure. He had to use these three methods. The third method, he studies the omens. One of the model divination that was used in the ancient Near East was the reading or the studying of the animal liver. They will look at it, how it shines on the right-hand side or how it shines on the left-hand side, and they will know, according to their books, that they should go to war and they will win this one, or they should go to this side, they will win this one. These were techniques that were forbidden by Yahweh in Israel. These were pagan methods of divination. So it shows that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't care about God. He has no interest in the worship of the God of Israel. It's only his evil heart that is driving him to carry out this mission. But on the side of God, he is an agent in God's hand to destroy his people. So he uses these three methods in order to find out which side to go. And the decision is that he should attack Judah. Now, not only Nebuchadnezzar didn't care about God or the God of Israel. In fact, for him, to conquer Judah would mean that Marduk, the Babylonian god, had conquered Yahweh. That is why they would take the temple vessels with them, because the temple vessels were the most valuable possession or resources that belong to God. In fact, to the God of any nation, they will take the temple vessels as a demonstration that their God, the Babylonian God, has conquered that nation. But what is amazing here is that God controls even the outcome of this pagan divination. It does not look good in the eyes of the Judahites that God would use even these evil means, or would control even these evil means for his purposes. God sends calamities to both the righteous and the wicked. But not only that, but God sometimes uses evil means for his purposes. Now, the king in Judah during this time or during this event of 587, when Judah will be destroyed, will be Zedekiah, who is described as evil in chapter 21. Now, what is said about this chapter, chapter 21? It closes with no word of hope, with no word of hope, just ends. The only word is that of judgment at the hands of the Babylonians. Now, this, brothers, should not come as a shock to us. Because when God came on earth in order to save his people, disarming the forces of darkness, he used evil, wicked men as means to accomplish his work of salvation. Christ suffered in the hands of wicked men. They crucified him and put him to death. Now, why would this shock us when God uses evil means for our suffering? God sends calamities to both the righteous and the wicked, and he uses the evil means to accomplish his purposes. God might not give an explanation of why even the righteous experience these calamities. When we look at what is happening around us, we don't have an explanation. Just like he doesn't offer any explanation in this chapter, why would the righteous suffer? But we know, in the words of Francis Schaeffer, that he is there and he is not silent. You see, folks, we are not saved in order to be spared from sufferings and calamities. But like Abraham, we look forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We long for the new order, the new world, where we will have new bodies, where tears will be wiped away and death will be no more, where is God when the righteous suffer? It is God who sends these calamities. He is there and he is not silent. We know that these things will happen in this church age. We will suffer and we might not have answers of why God sends these even to believers, to the righteous. But we know that these, they will make us long for the home. We know that we'll taste this death now and these sufferings, but we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. And will not suffer in that world. There will be no death. There will be no pain. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Sometimes it comes to us without proper explanations of some of the things. But Lord, You always show us that you are sovereign and you do what you want. All the events that are happening in this church age are controlled by you. You are still on your throne, sitting and ruling. Nothing surprises you because you have ordained everything even before the foundations of the world. We thank you, Lord, for these passages that may come as a shock to us, but they are a comfort to us, knowing that you are there and you are not silent. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.